Welcome to Big Innings. It is Friday night. It's been a crazy week here in American cricket, but boy, am I glad we waited until now to record. Man, how have you been?
Been good, man. Recovering after the UNC loss, but things have been cycling in the cricket world. Last couple of weeks of college, but USA cricket keep me busy as ever.
What went wrong there with UNC? I see your analysis right there. We could get into this for about 20 minutes, I'm sure. You could break this down for us. In a nutshell, what did UNC do wrong?
I thought personnel-wise, you didn't have the right people in the game. I thought, obviously, they played RJ Davis tight and kept him in a box. And I thought taking Ellie Cadell out of the game was a mistake. And then defensively, we couldn't make adjustments. And offensively, without Ellie Cadell in the game, there's no sets we could get into. That was my takeaway from it.
So here we are, Tobacco Road, North Carolina, basically, Research Triangle area, and NC State. People are still talking about NC State. They're not talking about UNC. They're not talking about Duke. How weird is this right now?
It is weird. It's like 1983 all over again. Maybe they have one more magical run in them 30 years apart. It'd be cool. It's hard not to root for this underdog like that, DJ Burns. But, man, I think UConn's the best team in the nation. I think the favorite's going to get it done. But
as somebody born in 1980, I really wish 1983 was really 30 years ago. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty sweet to see NC State, anybody really making a Cinderella run like they have is respectable and fun to watch, no matter who you're a fan of, unless it's Duke, of course, which they're never going to be a Cinderella. But yeah, let's talk about cricket. That's what we came here to talk about. There's so many crazy things that happened this week. Last night, as I was editing a pod that we're going to end up releasing, I think on Monday or Tuesday, as I was editing that with a special guest we had, Smit Patel's article dropped, and I thought, oh, shoot, I can't publish this now because we'll cannibalize it with the news, with a talk about what's going on in USA Cricket. So let's talk a little bit about Smit Patel's article. He claims in the article that the USA OPC and the ICC are ready to suspend USA Cricket after the firing of Dr. Murad, the CEO that they hired. And they hired this CEO apparently at the behest of the ICC, at the recommendation of the ICC, and they fired him for who knows why. It doesn't seem to be very clear. When USA addressed this in some announcement that they had, that it was incredibly vague. It's just best thing for cricket in the USA. Okay, explain to us how. They didn't. Now we have the ICC and the USA OPC up in arms about what's going on in the state of cricket in the USA, and we've seen a lot of things happening that we scratch our heads about. The World Cup coming up in a couple of months, in just 2 months, and USA haven't had a T20I for their men's team in almost 2 years. And the way they've handled this team selection has been questionable and controversial. The way they've excluded overseas players, they could be sued by these players. There are people out there saying that they'll pursue the case pro bono if they can get some clients to do. There's all these shenanigans happening. USA is preparing now for the World Cup against Canada coming up, and then after that against Bangladesh, and they're playing these games at PVCC, and PVCC is not our best stadium for these types of games. We have Dallas right there that MLC has spent a lot of money to build, their own money to build, and USA should be benefiting from this. USA should be playing there. We have an incredible grounds crew there, the best in the continent. It's absolute plug and play at Grand Prairie. We're not playing there. So all these crazy things happening right now, and the ICC's up in arms. USA OPC is up in arms. The USA has virtually nothing to do with this World Cup coming up this summer. The ICC's formed their own committee to handle that instead of working hand in hand with USA Cricket, which is a terrible shame. But to make matters worse, we've got big news of Jamie Lloyd and Julie Abbott resigning from USA Cricket. Bert Cockley has been told his services as a strength and conditioning coach aren't needed. We have this, what appears to be a consolidation of power to a few people on the board who seem to be taking everything over and making these decisions themselves. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? I think that's always seems to be the question. First off, here in the J school at UNC, they always say, whenever you're making a story, it's characters first, it's people first. And so that, to me, was the biggest thing was, Jamie Lloyd, was Julie Abbott, was Bert Cockley. Those are three individuals who have given a lot to USA Cricket. I've worked extensively with Jamie and Julie and Bert, and they're fantastic. Bert's making drives to Musa to do fitness tests for the women's team, and Julie is working on no budget to make a nationals and a regionals and an interregionals happen really paved the way for the robust women's domestic structure that we have. Like, we didn't have the interregionals to the regionals to the nationals. And she was doing that operating on virtually no budget. Jamie is just running around. I remember seeing him at the Buttonvere's Cricket Complex out in Atlanta this past summer, and you're doing the under 17 or was it the under 15 nationals rather. And he's the only one out there. And this place is in the middle of nowhere. You have to really go out to go and get supplies. If you don't have something, you really have to go out of your way to go get it. And Jamie was doing everything all day long, had operating on three or four grounds. And he's the guy that made it happen. These are three individuals who have given a lot. And that was disappointing, that it seemed like they were doing it in hopes of, okay, you know what, things are going to get better. They were in it for the right reasons. And when you see people like that, and we had like Richard and Lenny, both of those guys were let go. And you're like, those guys are doing it for the right reasons here. And these three come to follow that. That's disappointing in really the utmost regard. And then beyond that, the administrative issue just snipped you, caught USA, right? I think we've seen it forever. And the Olympic Committee had it, and they were looking at USA Cricket thinking, okay, we can make something work here. And then, wow, they realized there's a little bit of dysfunction here, and there's a lot that's going wrong. The ICC, when they first sanctioned the World Cup to be here, I'm sure they didn't plan on sending their own task force to make this World Cup possible. I'm sure they thought there was some level of competency within USA Cricket, and then quickly realized, oh, wait, maybe there isn't. And that's what's caused the World Cup to basically be taken out of USA's hands, for that matter, really, from an administrative level. They're not part of it. We just have the grounds in our country, but the USA Cricket is not part of this World Cup. And for the Olympics that are going to be here in LA in 2028, the USA is not going to be a part of it. The way it's going, I don't think USA is going to be a part of it. At least USA Cricket's not going to be a part of it. So it is disappointing from a character level, from people level, from an administrative level. It is just disappointing all the way through.
Yeah, boy, is it ever. And honestly, last time the board was folded, USACA was folded, we had ICC Americas kind of running the show for a couple of years. In that period of time, USA's men's team, at least, did incredibly well. They allowed USA to have a team while they had no board, and they allowed them to play in international competitions while they had no board in qualifiers and things like this. And they did quite well. And they were well on their way to ODI status when they officially recognized the new USA board, USA Cricket. They pretty much were there. Is there a reason why we shouldn't be cheering for this board to be folded completely? Is there a reason why we shouldn't be cheering for this to happen? Why wouldn't the ICC America step in and look at all the great things that have happened and say, we want to keep those things going. We just don't want these guys getting in the way anymore. Like the women's program that you mentioned that Julie did such a good job with, no one's ever going to know how much she sacrificed for that program. No one will ever know that. But she did. She did an awful lot for that program. In fact, everybody involved in that women's program sacrificed a lot to make this happen the way that it has, to build it the way that it has, and it's good. I don't see ICC folding this and then just forgetting about USA. They wouldn't have had a World Cup here. I would love to see them fold this, run things for a little while, build a brand new constitution where, like you said, at this rate, we're not going to be in the Olympics anyhow. So why not build a constitution that's bulletproof for this sort of thing to ever happen again? If you ask me, the current constitution we have, it was just waiting for this to happen. Maybe something like all independent directors across the board. Now, that would not work with USAOPC's standards. You wouldn't be able to get a board recognized by the Olympic and Paralympic Committee with that type of a board. But it's more important that we have a stable board than it is that we have a chance to make the Olympics. Obviously, we have to take care of the simple things. But yeah, that's very abstract, and that's very, we could talk about the potential ways to solve this problem. But let's just talk about, this is a huge problem. The ICC and cricket in general have a lot to gain by cricket working in the USA, American sports fans embracing cricket, American cricket fans already, to keep them involved in cricket. And basically, it comes down to the fact that American sports fans, cricket fans in the USA or other sports fans in the USA, are just worth a lot of money. And this is a great opportunity for the ICC to grow the game.
That's why this board isn't going to be folded by the ICC, because this is the opportunity and they've promoted it and they've been sending that World Cup trophy on a press tour that's gone everywhere and keeping having the U.S. team where there isn't a real U.S. team. No one's selected on it, but they just brought the last 11 guys really that represented the USA or people who represented the USA had come down and posed the trophy. The ICC knows that there's a lot of money to be made in America playing cricket. And you look at Major League Cricket, and that's the example is like, okay, this works. Like, let's do it. And the idea is you don't want to throw any negative press or publicity. That's why they took the stadium out of the USA Cricket's hand. They said, no, we can't let this fold. If this was just another place, I don't think the ICC would care, but they see the immense value here. And so they're going to make sure it's done right from their end. They're going to make sure they shore up everything at a press level from the now. I'm not sure if that's the long-term answer. And it's also hard to fold this because I think the lines are blurred from 2018 in the sense of a lot of people are credit USA Cricket with a lot of what minor league and major league have done. And you see the success on a domestic structure in the USA from 2018, where USA Cricket started. And a lot of that success is owed to ACE and minor league cricket and major league cricket and those people working on that. And that structure, and that worked really well. But I thought one thing minor league was very good about was saying, hey, we are the U.S.'s domestic structure. We are an extension of USA Cricket. They branded themselves as that. So people credited the board with minor league and major league and the success that caught. I think that's blurred the lines for a lot of people that, oh, no, the USA Cricket board didn't really do anything wrong. They made this work. No, they sanctioned the tournament. Now, they did the right thing, gave it to the right person. Right, gave it to ACE, but ACE has really made headway in the last 5 years or in the last 6 years. It's been ACE that's made that headway. And I think that's where those lines being blurred keep people from thinking USA Cricket could be the problem. And also, the ICC is not going to let this negative press fall on USA at such a pivotal moment with 2024 and 2028 around the corner. For this next decade, I think we're going to see this board. I don't think there's really much that could, apart from this board completely ripping itself apart, I'm not sure this board's going anywhere, at least until the 2028 Olympics, because it's so wide over the ICC to make the stuff work.
Yeah, but I feel like this current board is just destined to fail in that regard.
And I don't necessarily disagree. I don't disagree.
It just feels like they can't get out of their own way. And when I look at the best period of time for cricket at the international level in the USA, I feel like it was when the ICC Americas were here bridging the gap, that transition period. It was... The national team made sense. There wasn't a ton of selection controversy, at least maybe I'm being a little naive about that, but it just seemed like it was more efficient at the very least. But yeah, it's, I don't know, man. I think anybody who is giving credit to USA for MLC and minor league cricket's successes isn't somebody that's paying attention here in the USA. I think, sure, a lot of people abroad are going to see this and say, oh, this is USA's on their way up because of this stuff.
Sure.
Absolutely. I've had that conversation with people in England and in Australia. But when they come to learn how at odds the board is with ACE or with MLC, we need them to work together so badly. And I think I mentioned that we have a guest. That has to do with the U.S. Cricketers Association vote, which is the union here in the USA. Massive victory, huge majority win as the USA Players Association for Cricket.
And that's union. Huge.
It's huge. And I think something like that can fix the blind spots of minor league and major league. And so that, to me, the flaws with minor league and major league, to me, are on their way to being fixed thanks to things like this. And also it can help protect the players from things that the USA board doesn't seem to want to protect them from. We talked about the APL. Like,
sure.
The union can help with that sort of thing. That can take a load off of USA Cricket's shoulders as far as having to protect the players and whatnot if they work together. But yeah, we have that pod coming up, a guest regarding that coming up soon. But yeah.
And just a quick thing with the unions. Like, the reason that it's so huge, people don't understand why sports unions matter. Now, players have a say. They have a seat at the table, right? Before, yeah, it's this situation, this is what you have to do. And like, when you talk about the way selection was run this year, with the union, you can't run selection that way because now every player that's part of that union has a say. They can, if you look at the NFL, rule changes are run through the player association. the NBA Player Association is bargaining with the owners of the league every single year, saying, hey, you want to do this? Give us this. You want to do this? Give us that. There is now a seat at the table for players to have a say. And so now when it comes to contracts, when it comes to leagues that the board is going to sanction, when it comes to something like selection, it's like, hey, you can't exclude these players. If you want all of these players to be included, you can't exclude these ones. Or however that flows, then now you have a vote, a seat at the table, and the board has to listen. The boards of every single entity of cricket in the USA, whether that's USA Cricket, whether that's minor league, whether that's major league, every entity now has to listen, and that's a huge win for the playing cricketers in this nation.
Yeah, so we want to see more people join that. We want to see that become a mechanism for change in the USA. And the board should embrace something like this. It takes something off of their plate, really. If they really want some quality and they're sanctioning an awful lot of leagues that aren't necessarily fulfilling their end of the bargain with the players. We know that this is true. So that sort of thing can help in that way. But man, it's just, why things are just so bad right now with USA Cricket. I don't, like you said, the thing that's their saving grace is they got the World Cup coming up. We got Canada versus USA coming up at PVCC. Now, that's crazy. We have this stadium that Major League Cricket built in Grand Prairie. Why not use that for this series or for the Bangladesh series? We've heard before so many times why something can't happen at Church Street Park. And it has to do with the infrastructure at Church Street Park not being up to snuff, right? We hear this all the time. Oh, yeah, they don't have changing rooms. Oh, they don't have permanent broadcast infrastructure. Oh, yeah, PVCC famously has those boxes checked off, right? And I'm not trying to crap on PVCC here. I'm just saying it makes no sense. PVCC is great for what it does. It's good for handling tournaments where you have a lot of games happening at the same time. It's great for youth tournaments. It's great for minor league cricket. It's great for events that are happening, selection or combines, things like this. It's great for that. But we saw a tweet today of USA Cricket tweeting out tents that have been installed temporarily at PBCC to handle changing rooms and to handle fans and things like that. So when I see this at PBCC, and I know that so few people are probably going to show up there because it is a remote location, it blows a hole in all the excuses for why Church Street can't have anything. Oh, yeah, you can set that temporary infra up. You can set that up at PBCC where you might get 500 fans. But you can't set it up at Church Street Park because you know why? You don't want to go through the trouble to have 2,000 people showing up to a game. And if you're the national governing body and you don't want to go through the trouble to have 2,000 people showing up to watch your team play, there's something wrong with you. To me, that is a massive problem.
Yeah, you said they set up tents for the teams and the fans. You oversold it by 100% there. There's no tents for fans. The tweet is it's team pavilions and dugout areas. So they're not expecting people. And if they are, it's like, all right, line up around the boundary. But look, Prairie View's great. I've been to Prairie View a couple times, enjoyed my time. Mungesh is great. He works really hard on the ground. It was great with the combine. And I think you're right. It's great for those under 17 Nationals. The Nationals, I think, have them there. It's perfect not to have those places where you have a lot of teams, right? Like it makes a lot of sense. I have no issues doing that. I think crowd is definitely a big part of why you put it at Church Street Park. I don't know if Church Street Park is quite up to snuff at the moment in terms of the pitch and whatnot. But sure. I think if you were to coordinate this, right, if you tell them, hey, 3 months in advance, hey, look, we want to have this here. What are the odds? I'm sure we could figure it out, right? That's what we do here at Warfare. We figure it out. And then I think that's something that should have been explored. I think, yeah, absolutely. If you can put these permanent dugouts in here, there's plenty of space at Church Street Park to do that. There's plenty of space to put a broadcast structure facility there, which they could do. Major League has done it. And by looking at these pavilions and dugouts, I'm interested to see if there's a real broadcast setting there, because they haven't shown us one. It's more like they got tarp versions of what's at Moose at the moment. And again, I'm not going to hate on Prairie View. I think Prairie View is a great ground. It's a great thing for you. It's like we're going to have that ground.
Absolutely.
You're right. It's out of the way. Like, you're not just stumbling upon the PVCC. You don't just stumble upon it. It's like, you're driving on the highway at 70 miles an hour, and you look over. It's like, oh, whoa, there's a big field here. I wonder what that is. And then you'd have to get off and take a bunch of turns around a back road versus Church Street. It's, you come back from the airport, you make, you know, one right, and really you're there. That's where you're at. So it's a little different atmosphere. But I think it's frustrating that these things aren't at least Church Street Park, where it could have been Dallas, too. Like, let's.
Yeah.
You can hold this in Dallas. There's broadcast, there's dugouts, there's everything you need. And it goes back to just saying about Ace and the board being at odds with the MLC, that it just can't be that way, because the board, if you're USA Cricket, you have a stadium that is built. You go in, you can rent the stadium.
Right. It's there.
Best grounds in the country.
Yeah.
And it's ready to go. I'm sure it's cheaper than what you're going to have to do at Prairie View, because you're paying to rent Prairie View, then you're paying to put this stuff up. You're paying a lot in setting things up, in setup, versus it, like you said, plug and play at Dallas. And that's ideal. So I think it's a big miss. At Church Street Park, I think you could have got a lot more people involved, a lot more fans, a lot more hype around playing Canada. And at Dallas, maybe you don't fill out the stadium, but it's plug and play.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Do it at Dallas, for God's sake. At least do Bangladesh at Dallas. Come to your damn senses. Do it Bangladesh at Grand Prairie.
I
want to give that town credit for what they've done. Grand Prairie, Texas. Have it there.
Yep.
And like everything, like we've been saying, just plug in. Just go there and bam, it's all right there for you.
It's all there.
Every facility in the USA needs a little bit of this or that, a little bit of that. And Grand Prairie needs a little bit of this or that too. But it's perfect for this type of thing. Just do it there. Play your games there. Maybe they have a great reason for it that we don't know about. That would be great if they would just convey this. Of course, we might not be able to ask this question, because apparently you have to be a member of the Sirius Media in order to get accreditation to a USA event these days. You have to be basically a Wisden writer, or for the New York Times or the Washington Post cricket section, which doesn't even exist. You have to get the Washington Post to declare that they're going to make a cricket session. Section, and then they'll give you accreditation. And Amin, we've submitted accreditation request to the ICC for the World Cup.
Sure.
And yes, that was a difficult process. It was a pain in the butt, but I'm feeling good about our chances of getting accreditation to that.
Sure.
Right? So,
yeah, no, 100%.
It seems petty with USA saying all that you need to. Wouldn't it be amazing if, like, the New York Times showed up to this Canada series? Fantastic. That would be great if cricket was in that state right now in the USA. But there are many people that want to write about cricket in the USA. Let encourage people to do this.
And I'll say like this. I work for a work. It's a class on campus called Sports Action. We are a bi-weekly sports television program, right? We live stream to YouTube. It's all of our parents watching. So we have a huge following, right? Like, people tune in, some people don't. We get accreditation to film UNC basketball games when they play Duke.
Right.
That is the biggest college game of the year.
The whole country. Yeah.
The whole country. An hour show that on average, probably every show gets maybe 8 viewers. We still get accreditation to go film that. We can go to other places. We can go to Duke and get accreditation to film at Duke.
Right.
If schools in the ACC are letting us film basketball for something it's a school class, right? Versus USA Cricket. And it's not like there's cricket writing jobs all over the place. There's not major publications with it. And I've just sat there as a member of USA Cricket, as someone who's working for USA Cricket at that particular time, and sent media requests through USA Twitter and said, hey, send it to different media outlets and say, hey, you want to come? Here's what's going on. And me and Andrew Leonard sent about 100 of those in an hour.
Yeah.
To get somebody to come to the 2022 Cricket World League 2, the League 2 series against Oman and Nepal. We sent about 100 in an hour on Twitter. We would just go through, we'd find reporters, we'd find channels, and we just kept sending, trying to get anybody. So that's a major shift to, we are sending out, hey, here's the game, come, to, oh, if you want to come to the game, send us your stuff. And we don't, and USA Cricket doesn't have that report to do that. If UNC makes you fill out an accreditation, makes sense. You have a report. The ICC makes you fill out an accreditation, makes sense. There's a report. But there isn't this mass influx of media that's going to cover USA Cricket.
Right.
And so you discouraging people almost feels like at least the three people that probably are going to apply, and you want to be able to pick and choose who you want.
Yeah.
And there could be way more. There could be more people who do it, but it's almost like, okay, I know X is going to do it. I know Y is going to do it. I know Z is going to do it. And I don't want X or Z there. We can deal with Y, but I don't want X or Z. So we're going to do this just to not to have those two people there. It's ridiculous.
And you know what? I feel Schmidt made a terrible mistake posting that article. I don't think he's going to get accreditation now. I think he's done. I think Schmidt's out.
Telepeno will struggle to get accreditation.
I bet they got to give it to Peter, for God's sake. They got to.
Well, they have to.
Look, we're also speculating about our own chances. Maybe they would give it to us. We didn't apply because there's a lot of things happening this year. We both have things going on that we can't just ditch town and go to Houston for. We'd love to say that, hey, by the way, if anybody wants to sponsor us to do that, we're available.
Sure. If anyone's looking for two people that could go down and talk some cricket, we could do that. But
right. We just need eight people to hear this.
like you said, though, like Peter, you think, has to get one. But with all the stuff he's been saying about USA Cricket and posting, who's to say that USA Cricket now can't say, oh, no, Cricket Info, we're not going to accept Peter Delapena's request on somebody else?
Yeah. You know what? Maybe we need to unionize here. We'll get our own union.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
USA Not Real Media Association.
Not
How's
Real
that?
Media.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so hopefully, look, we want to see a great Canada versus USA series at PBCC. Sure. Canada's been preparing like crazy. They've brought a lot of players with them to get the right mix. And it was tough to judge what we were going to see from Canada based on what we saw against the Mustangs, the Dallas Mustangs. So that the Dallas Mustangs is a minor league cricket team that sponsored a team to play warm-up games, to play four warm-up games against Canada. They beat Canada 3-1. But the thing is, and yes, they beat the pants off of them a couple of times. They really beat them real well. But in that very last game, Canada beat the pants off of them. 13 balls. With 13 balls to spare, they chased down, I think, 159, won by 8 wickets. So that's the Canada we can expect to see play against the USA. I don't want to really bank on the first 3 games, us seeing that Canada team. But yeah, interestingly, this Mustangs assembly, this team that they put together for the Mustangs team, cricketers from all over minor league cricket, not just the Mustangs. Obis was on the team. He played well throughout the series. Akarshit Goel played very well. We were shocked to see he wasn't drafted in Major League Cricket. At least I was.
Yeah, I think he'll probably be a wild card.
Yeah, I think we can bank on that. I was expecting him to go pretty early, too, after the minor league that he had. At the very least, in the middle. But based on how that series went, it's tough to tell what we're going to see. Like I said, Canada took a lot of people down there with them. I think anytime you're playing for the first time as a team at Prairie View, it's a challenge. And I think
It's a different wicket. It's sticky, for sure. Especially in the morning, it's a little sticky. There's a lot of humidity down there in Houston. So it's a little bit slower. Sometimes balls will just slide on or stay low and whatnot. But to me, it wasn't about winning or losing for Canada. I thought, one, Obis Bernard showed selectors, hey, I should have been selected. That's one for me. That was my one big takeaway. But beyond that, it was Canada is getting a minor league team to warm up with.
Yeah.
USA Cricket is not.
Right.
That is ridiculous. USA Cricket, the team in the USA, can't get the minor league team, the domestic USA team, to warm up with them. But Canada can do it.
Right.
That's what's wild to me, right? That part doesn't make sense. That can't happen. And
that
so
is wild.
It did happen, and it goes to show how much more ready Canada is for this World Cup than we are. We've seen it internationally. We've seen it here, continentally, and even for this series that really doesn't affect much. They got games in a Prairie View beforehand.
Yeah.
That, I don't know.
Canada-USA is always a good game. They're always close. Doesn't matter if Canada's in the Challenge League and USA's in the Cricket World Cup League 2. Doesn't matter. We already see Canada is at the top of the Cricket World Cup League 2 this time around. They're at the top of the table. They've won 4. They've lost 0. That's a great start. Or was it 3-0? Either way, they're undefeated. I think it's 3-0. But yeah, they're undefeated so far in Cricket World Cup League 2 at the top of the table. They're a good team. They're always going to be a very good team. They should have been in the Cricket World Cup League 2 last cycle. They should have been over PNG. They should have absolutely been, but they weren't. PNG earned their spot rightly. But yeah, it's like you said, it's crazy. Oh, also, I want to give a shout out to Ali Sheikh, who's done well in that, and especially Yasser. Yasser's done quite well, even though on the scorecard he's listed as somebody totally different than Yasser. what was the name they have him here as?
Yasin.
Yeah, Yasin. Maybe that's, he's just Yasin. Trying to get in that USA team any way he can, changing his name.
Hey, Smith Patel went by Smith Patel on the scorecard.
I mean, right. Well, that's just to tell him apart from Smith the writer. I think that's actually a good one.
Go work.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. There's a lot of Patel, so you got to find a way to distinguish yourself. And if you got to go with Smith.
Man, you end up talking to a lot. You end up talking to one of them quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, I got one right here. Yeah, but it's wild, man. It's just silly. But yeah, Yasser did so well, showing us that we need a leggy in the team.
Bring your young leg spinner to the World Cup. That's not a hard decision to make, man. This is the guy that you can have for the next 15 years.
Right.
He's 21 years old. He's got a lot of cricket in him.
Yeah. And let me tell you,
you could easily use it.
I'm going to explode. I'm going to blast off to the moon if Yasser doesn't get his quota in minor league cricket this year with Somerset Cavaliers. If Yasser isn't getting 4 overs every game, we're averaging 3.5 overs throughout the whole season, I'm going to freaking blast off because I'm waiting for them to utilize him every single game. And I'm like, why aren't you doing this? This kid, he needs this platform. He's good, and he needs a platform, and they should be giving him that platform. So there you go. I'm a Yasser fan. I think we all are. But yeah, the people are making a case for themselves in either for Major League selection or for USA selection on that Mustangs team that was put together. Did we talk about the women's ODI action yet coming up?
No, we haven't, Nate. Let's break it down. What's going on with the women?
We got ODI coming up soon, April 11 versus Papua New Guinea, and then April 14 versus Scotland. In between, Papua New Guinea and Scotland will face each other. USA launched their own men's ODI with action against PNG as well. We have some symmetry there with the women's team and the men's team, both starting their ODI tours or their ODI campaigns against Papua New Guinea. And then we have 3 T20Is coming up right after that. And I can't wait to see this happen. Everything's happening so quickly. Everything's happening right around each other right now. But yeah, we've got the women's ODIs April 11th and April 14th. And then T20 Quadrangular Series in Abu Dhabi, USA versus UAE and USA versus Netherlands. And Scotland, they're playing Scotland in that series as well. So that's 3 T20Is right there that we're going to be playing April 16th, 17th, and 19th in Abu Dhabi immediately after they play their 2 ODIs in Dubai. It took me a long time to say that, but man, I'm stoked to see some women's cricket coming back.
Oh, I'm excited. It's hard not to root for this women's team. They're young, they're fun to watch, and they're just a group of people who support each other. I've been a part of the Nationals for 2 years in a row now, and you don't see a more well-knit group of people that, A, make the team, and then B, are just like on the outside looking in. Like, it's really special. Onika Kolan getting a look at vice captain. I'm excited to see that in effect. I thought maybe Geeta Gokhale could have been it. Nika has been a good year for her, so I'm excited to see what she's able to do. Again, Sindhu is always leading from the front. I'm excited to see the debut of Jessica Wenthagamiwa. She hasn't been eligible for the past couple of years, but she's really bright, left-handed all-rounder. I think she's really a glue piece for them and can really be someone that's really effective. It's just good to see these young women back in the fold and able to play some high quality cricket. And I think, you know, these aren't the women that played in 2022. Then just beyond Jessica, Sindhu obviously captaining as always, Sindhu Harsha, then Nika Kolan, vice captain, Aditi Bachudasama, really promising top order bat who also bowls a little bit. And she was the best batter in 2022 and then the best bowler in 2023 at women's national. So something to look out for. A little Steven Taylor esque. This is a thing group, someone who's got an extraordinary cover drive. Gargi Bolglet back in the team. Good to see her recovering from that injury. Geeta Gokhale, who we've talked extensively about. Isani Vaghela, who's just so consistent with ball in hand. We mentioned Jessica Giovanna Arras, who's back. Excited to see a little bit taller, so she gets a little bit more bounce. I'm excited to see her. Pooja Ganesh and Pooja Shah, two really explosive bats that can bend the middle, can keep as well. Ritu Singh, one of those explosive openers who bowls some spin that we've got to see a lot of. Sanvi Amadi, obviously sister of Ajay Amadi in minor league cricket, very talented. Saitan Mayuni, one of those leg spinners those young leg spinners that they're bringing around. Maybe he doesn't get a game, but at least is being brought around. That Suhani Thadani, how can we forget about her? She's phenomenal. What she does with the new ball has gotten better and better with the bat. And then the traveling reserve in Mahi Mandavan. And I thought she had a really impressive nationals in the last couple of games. So, I'm excited to see these group of women take their talents overseas.
Yeah, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. I really hope we get a chance to, like, buckle down into this series and give it the attention it really deserves. And hopefully, maybe, we don't have too much time. We got about 6 days before this thing happens. We got to get somebody on to talk about this series if we can. I don't know if we'll have the time with just 6 days to go. But hopefully we can get somebody on to talk about this series and see and give us a little bit of more information so that we can get our listeners prepared. But yeah, that's something to look forward to. Look, man, as bad as things go with the board and the state of things in the USA, we love when there's games happening. That always takes up all of our attention when the games are happening, and it gives us something positive to talk about. And it's tough to look at the women's team and not feel like there's hope for the future.
For sure.
Missed my chance to make my joke about those tents they brought down for a PVCC and say that they got Canada to bring them down from the GT20.
When you share the podcast, just tweet it out to the joke.
And we'd love but how great would it be to be a part of that serious media and actually travel to these things and go to all these games all the time and see what's happening and follow everything. And how great would it be to be able to do that? It would be something we would love.
No, that's the dream. That is the dream. I got a month of school left, and that'd be ideal to do that afterwards. I think we got a good shot. I think big innings is doing the right thing. I think we've been on the right track, and we'll get a live show going at some point. But
right.
No, I think it's when we get awareness and attention out by USA Cricket, the good and the bad, that's when things are good. I think Major League did that in strides. It's why a big reason why Nashville's getting his back in the 11. I think Peter Delapena, what he's done for a couple decades now, is really good. And it's the reason why we are able to talk about what we talk about, is because Peter's out there doing that. Smith, what he just released, that gave us basically our whole lead to the show. It's really important work and not something that really anyone takes lightly, right? It's fun to talk about cricket, but when you talk about cricket in associate countries, especially the USA, the good comes with the bad. You don't just get to talk about, oh, we played this game. We went a stretch without playing games. It's exciting when we do play games. And you know what? Sometimes we are a little bit down on it, but yeah, it's really important. And I'm happy to do it with you every week.
Yeah, it's great. I always look forward to this. Both of us have a lot going on. I've got a regular job and, you know, it's getting crazier and crazier at the minute as everybody's getting told to go back into the office, and I have to help get that ready for everybody. So I've been quite busy the last couple of weeks trying to stay on top of this. In the meantime, you've got your school going on. You're always doing something. Man, look, I can't wait for minor league cricket this summer. I can't wait for all these wonderful things, but I have a hard time not looking ahead to minor league because we get to do commentary together.
I'm so excited, man.
Yeah, so we might have to, you know what we got to do? We got to get down and do some local cricket. Are you doing any commentary local cricket this weekend?
No, I'm not. I'm working at an event here at UNC. We got a women's cross game tomorrow, so I got that on my plate. Run and replay for that.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's great. Anyways, thank you to our listeners for listening to us, for taking us more seriously than some people do.
We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to contribute to this, the Emerging Cricket has a Patreon that we can benefit from as well. So to be sure to tune into that, to Emerging Cricket, listen to that podcast. Last week, we were the number 11 pod about cricket in the USA, according to the Apple data. That's pretty good. It was pretty darn good. The Emerging Cricket podcast, that is the collective of Emerging Cricket podcasts, of which we are one. So please, contribute to Emerging Cricket's Patreon. It's out there. You can find it. And we look forward to our next episode, which we hope you're going to like, about the U.S. Cricketers Association vote.